Our reading this morning
is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 27, where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our brother Peter, for the joy he gives us. And we pray now, as he brings your words through his body to us, that you would help us to hear your voice in all of this, to hide those things in our hearts, to mull on them in the coming week, and to put them into use in our daily lives, to your honour and glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Karen. Well, good morning. So we've reached this part in our study of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And it's probably one of the shortest and yet richest and most condensed statements that we have in there. But maybe let's start in a slightly different place this morning. Do you believe in the human spirit? A chemist might look at the human body, and if they did so, they'd find 65% oxygen and 18% carbon and one part per million copper and a whole bunch of other things that seem to be always there and we don't quite know why. But you couldn't get the human spirit into a test tube. Where do you find it? I think you find the human spirit in the passion of a poet, in the awe of the naturalist, in the courage of the survivor, in the drive of the campaigner for justice. That's where we see, isn't it? That's where we see the human spirit at its best. That spirit that keeps doctors awake through the long hours of the night shift. That spirit that astonishingly plants a garden in Gaza. That quiet, hidden spirit that drives people to go litter picking when nobody's looking. Little ordinary ways, small things that just speak something of the human spirit. And I find it challenging, this thing. You see, you can't buy a meter to measure your spirit level. It's a bit like the wind that blows. We don't know where it's come from or where it's going, but we do feel its impact. And we know, don't we, when we meet somebody and their spirit level is low. We can just tell that for them life is tough. But we also know when the spirit level is high. We know when the spirits are full, the human spirit is stirred by sunshine on a spring morning, by an act of kindness, by a beautiful song, by a moment of realization. When your spirits are low and you need lifting, when life is tough and the world seems grey, you know, don't you, the human spirit is low. And then you can see somebody and you can see, yes, they're creative, they're joyful, they care about other people, they're motivated. The human spirit, and there's something rather wonderful in the best bits of our society's culture, the best bits that seem to believe in the human spirit. And at best, all of that, wonderful as it is just the tiniest fragment, the palest shadow of the Holy Spirit of God. He is at the heart of all we know about the character of God. He underpins all our creativity, all our delight in creation, all our passion for living, all our sacrificial love. So, it's almost as though there are things we can measure and there are things that we can't. Almost as though the spirit of the human being, and indeed the spirit of God, is a quality that takes us beyond ourselves. Does that make sense? It's almost as though when God the Father wanted to connect with his creation, with us humans, he wanted to show us what he's like in stuff that we can understand and sent Jesus as the Word. But he also wanted to put something, some kind of sense of eternity in our hearts to take us beyond the stuff that we can measure and know and understand and explain. Almost as though Jesus is the Word and the Spirit is the wordless. The one who works in a way that we can't quite measure, that we can't pin down. Jesus makes everything clear. Well, but the Spirit is mysterious, unpredictable. He's the character and nature of God. He's the activity of God. But there is something about the way he works that takes us beyond the safety of what we know. He's unpredictable. He's beyond our senses. He's beyond our puny intellect. He brings the miracle sometimes of sudden, unexpected healing. He brings the unexpected and yet tangible sense of the presence of God. He is connecting us somehow to the world beyond words. So when we try and explain what we mean by the Holy Spirit and the work of the Spirit, we're explaining mystery. We're using words from here to try and capture something there. When we try and pin everything down, assign names and title, rely too much on the old familiar metaphors, then we miss the Holy Spirit. He's forever bursting the old wineskins. He's blessing the people who've missed the meeting. He's surprising us. He's doing a new thing. So can I invite you to take stock this morning? Have there been moments this week when you felt the wind on your cheek? Moments when you've been moved with compassion, when you've been overwhelmed with unexpected delight, when you've just sensed that quiet gladness of being alive. Have you sensed the Spirit of God? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? It's tricky, isn't it? 15 minutes or however long I've got to explain the Holy Spirit. He appears in the second verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:2. And just four verses before the end of Revelation, the Holy Spirit is there. The Spirit and the Bride says, come. Genesis to Revelation. Between the two, 250 references. So we'll go through all that this morning. I just want to instead do three simple little phrases from our reading. Simple things that have touched my heart as I've read this passage and tried to stay true to that passage that we had read to us. Three simple things that talk about what the Holy Spirit does. First one's in John 14 and verse 16, they're right at the beginning of our reading. It wonderfully says, the Spirit will help you. I love it. The moments when we realise, on our own we're not enough. We realise every time we get into a scrape, we get into a situation that's too big for us, and we pray that profound, theologically rich prayer. Help! And sometimes you'll hear a preacher criticize those people who seem to pray this prayer. You see, it's a bit like when we're in trouble. You know, I think we all do it, don't we, when we're in trouble? They say, don't they, that when the plane is going down, there are no atheists on board. When we're in trouble, we pray. And I want to commend that. I want to say, well done, folks. It's good to call out to God, to ask him to help you. When things are tough, it's a good thing to say, help me, Lord. He's promised, I will help you. The Spirit, his job is to help us. Monday, I was on about day 30 of this 100-day cough. You've perhaps been there. I was wretched. I was preparing and to preach on this topic. And it took me about 2 days to work out it would be a good thing to ask God to help me. Tuesday night I got there. Took me about 36 hours to kind of work out. It's helpful in the middle of wretchedness to ask God to help you. I think I turned the corner. I'm still coughing. But it's not destroying my life in the way that it was. You see, he will help you. Galatians 5 lists the character traits of the Spirit. Oh, don't we need those sometimes? Don't we need more patience, more love, more self-control? We need all that stuff. And then there's the moments when we need stuff from God beyond character improvement. You know, when something needs to shift that's beyond our control. And that's what the gifts are for. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts and fruit, but between all that and underneath all that and surrounding all that, we just need him to help us in so many ways. And if I was to open a time of prayer now and say, okay, the sentence for your prayers, brothers and sisters, is to say, thank you, Lord, for helping me with. We'd have people right across the church, wouldn't we? Thank you, Lord, for helping me with healing. Thank you, Lord, for helping me with my son. Thank you, Lord, for helping me with my finance. Thank you, Lord, for helping me with my sense of emptiness inside. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. Over and over again, he helps us over the finish line. He helps us. Secondly, just a verse on, John 14 and verse 17, it says, he will live in you. See, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is largely described as either falling on people or standing between people. And that doesn't get preached on very often, does it? The Spirit stands between us. He occupies the space. It's that oomph that turns a stranger into a friend, that shifts a marriage of convenience into an amazing team, that shifts a gathering of random people and makes them a community. The Spirit occupies the space between us. But here, he is the one who will live in you. It made me think of a comet. Swinging out across trackless distances of space. Right out there into the very throne room of God and then back and in through our own hearts. He's in us as well as beyond us. But of course he doesn't whiz off, disappear from us, visit us temporarily like a comet. At one and the same time, he is in the centre of our hearts and far away in the throne room of Father God. Jesus says that through the Holy Spirit we're adopted, we're loved, we're brought into a forever home. In a way we can't understand or describe, the Spirit of God worms his way inside us, gets into our hearts, dwells in us, deep within, whispering in our hearts about life, about grace, about forgiveness, about joy, giving us courage and strength, helping us to forgive, because he is committed to stay with us. He's not going anywhere. To stay with us, to dwell. You know this thing in Scotland, have you noticed? People don't say, if you say, where do you live? People in Scotland say, I stay. I stay. And the Spirit will stay with us, not going anywhere. And if you've had teenage children away at university, they come home to see you, but they're immediately out to see their friends. Much more exciting. The Holy Spirit stays. He's not going anywhere. He's here in our hearts, dwelling with us. He will help you. He will live in you. Finally, he will teach you. That's in verse 26 at the end of our passage. When Maggie and I visited our friends in Burkina Faso, we heard them talking about how you learn to do something. How do you learn to do evangelism? How do you learn to pray for healing? How do you learn to lead the church? And they were really clear. Go find somebody who is doing it. Watch them like a hawk and copy exactly what they do. And only when you're able to do exactly what they've told you, what they're demonstrating, only when you're able to copy it perfectly, should you begin to consider whether you need to do it slightly differently, whether some changes are required. Because you can only understand it from the inside when you can do it exactly. So I was at City Prayer on Thursday. And I think he's a bishop actually in the black-led Pentecostal church that we were meeting in for Christians across the city. And the guy did a little introductory prayer at the beginning of the prayer time. It went on for 10 minutes. 10 minutes for an opening prayer. And it was all one sentence. this guy prayed himself hot. And it's so easy to be very English and say, oh no, not the way I would do things, not proper liturgy for that. But it's so easy, isn't it, to stay on the outside, like an armchair critic, judge the way somebody else does things. What if I apprenticed myself to him? What if I learned his way? What if I got to the point where I got the scriptures at my fingertips, like he had? What if I got to the point where I could pray like he prayed, like I had the same passion in my heart, the same urgency in my mouth? What if I apprenticed myself to him and learned it? And then when I was on the inside, just thought about whether this could be a regular part of my life. What if I did that? What if we all did that? My point is not about Pentecostal prayer. My point is about apprenticing. Is this what Jesus was meaning when he said that the Holy Spirit will teach you to obey? He'll teach you to do the things that he does. He'll show you how. Watch and copy. Watch and learn. Not confining us and restricting us, you can't do, but you need to follow the learning to do it right. To pray, to heal, to proclaim, to love, to forgive. Just like he does. Need to stop. The Holy Spirit comes to help us, to live in us, to teach us. Hand up if you believe that parachutes work. Yeah? Okay, you believe in the parachute. We talked about the wind carrying you. You believe in the parachute. Good, well, that's nice. Great, you believe in the parachute. Believe in the Holy Spirit? Hands up if you've ever flown in an aircraft. You can see where this is going, can't you? Yeah? Well done. You believe in the parachute. That it will help you if you need it. Hands up if you've ever jumped out of a plane. Sinclair. It's when you jump that you believe in the parachute, isn't it? So if we're really trusting God the Holy Spirit to lead us, to carry us to safety, then he will help us, he will live in us, he'll teach us how to live.